It's Here and Now.
They gave him his orders at Monroe, Virginia, San Steve. You're way behind time. This is not 38, this is old 97. Put her in the Spencer on time.
This is that great old Johnny Cash song. The band, the Old 97s, took their name from it when they formed in Texas almost 20 years ago. Rhett Miller, the frontman, grew up a fan of British music, artists like David Bowie. So the Old 97s ended up sounding like Cash and The Clash. They rode the alternative country music wave in the 90s, releasing one of the landmark CDs of that genre, Too Far to Care, in 1997.
So I saddled up beside her.
Our big fans, you might remember last September, Rhett read his very powerful 9/11 diary for us. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. And this summer we caught up with him as he takes a break from the Old 97s to tour with the band backing his fifth solo CD. They're called Serial Lady Killers after this song. But the new CD is called The Dreamer. It's self-produced, financed by fans through a Pledge Music campaign.
This ain't love, but it ain't.
Here Now's Alex Ashlock caught up with Rhett Miller before a recent show at the Brighton Music Hall right outside Boston.
So what's the difference between Serial Lady Killers and Old 97s?
They call me boss in the Serial Lady Killers, and the Old 97s would never think to do that, except in the most, you know, dripping with sarcasm tones. I have a lot of fun with both bands, but they're very different. You know, these guys are versatile to a fault, perhaps. I could lead them off a cliff of heavy metal if I wanted to, I think. But the 97s are a specific thing. Like, it's a machine, and you put a song into it, and it comes out sounding a way. But there's a lot more. We can goof around a lot more with the SLKs.
I was going through a hell of a time when suddenly you showed up. You gave me hope when I lost mine, but hope is not enough. I loved you so hard, it broke my heart. And you weren't like the rest until you left. Yeah, I'm lost without you. It's all coming to me now. Yeah, I'm lost without you.
Feel like the new CD is a little closer to Old 97s than some of your other solo CDs?
Yeah, for sure. And by design a little bit. I had made so many solo records where I felt like I was being defensive in a way about having to make solo records. But I wanted the band to keep working, so I figure I've got to make these records obvious to the fans why I'm doing solo records, so they don't think I'm just a jerk who's out for a money grab, you know? So I made these records that were way poppier than the 97s, and as the 97s have become more of maybe like a garage band, I feel like I've got the room to do this solo record that's got all sorts of pedal steel and slide guitar and, you know, female vocal harmonies everywhere and a real Americana kind of thing, and the 97s' toes don't get stepped on.
Speaking of the female contribution to the CD, I think probably Johnny Cash would be spinning in his grave knowing that his daughter is tweeting with Rhett Miller and ending up on your solo album. How did that happen?
Her dad doesn't really enter into it when I've worked with her. Like, I've never asked her about him. And it's obvious I'm in a band called Old 97s, and she must assume that I, you know, idolize her dad.
But she never asked you about that.
No, but it's fine because we sort of work on a different level. You know, we met, as you say, we met through Twitter. We met through, you know, some mutual friends who said, you guys would be good co-writers, I think. And just as an experiment, she sent me that first verse of the duet that we do on my record. You know, I was so eager to convince her that I was a worthy conspirator. I sent a song back the next day, and we tweaked it a little bit after that, but it was done very quickly. And then we did a demo of it, and our voices just seemed to mesh so well. And after the demo was over, we we were both kind of giddy. There's a thing that happens when you walk into a room and a few hours later you've got this thing that didn't even exist before, and it's really beautiful, and you know it, that something was valuable was created right then.
I thought you were the wind blowing through my home again. I thought you were the moon. Now nothing lights these empty rooms.
Why did you decide to do this CD through the Pledge Music route?
I wanted to own my own master for the first time. You know, I spent so many years under the old business model of having a big corporation to whom you're beholden, that owns your masters, that calls the shots, and anytime somebody wants to use your music, for instance, in a movie, they have to go through that corporation. And, you know, my record will never be truly my own for all those records in my catalog. And this record is. I love the idea of the people kind of owning it. You know, it's almost like saying, look, I like you. Here, I'll put my money down. I don't have to. I could go listen to it for free in any number of ways.
Find it in the little moments and all the little things. Find it in the morning when the brand new day it brings. Find it in the garden. Everybody knows.
What inspires you to write a song? What are you looking for to put into a song? Are there specific things? How does that work?
When I'm writing a song, I don't usually have an agenda. Sometimes I'll just want to write a song. For instance, I was in Seattle last September, and I was just about to go in to make this record. And I really wanted to write a song during this one-hour lull I had before a sound check, and I picked up the Seattle Stranger, and I said, I'm going to open it to whatever page, and I'm going to write a song about whatever picture I see. And I opened it to a page with a picture of a director named Lynn Shelton, a film director. She had done a movie called Hump Day that I'd seen and liked. And I'd never seen a picture of her before, and she had such a cocky smile, and you know, and a messed up cowboy hat, and such a funny, wry look about her.
She looked like a character in a song.
She did. She looked like somebody I would be writing a song about at that moment. And sure enough, and it said underneath her picture, recipient of the Genius Award. And so then I just immediately sat down. I said, you know, she was a genius. She'd won awards and stuff. I was intimidated. I projected this whole idea of what it might have been like, you know, for me to date Lynn Shelton. Of course, she's happily married. I eventually got a copy of the song to her, and she said she liked it.
She was a genius. She'd won awards and stuff. I was intimidated. She had a prominent nose. She took off all her clothes. I was infatuated.
I feel like music is all instincts. You can talk yourself into any number of things, but yeah, maybe the one that's right is the first one that pops into your head.
But it would be nonetheless the time we spent. I don't know where it went.
The old 97's Rhett Miller. His new solo CD is The Dreamer. He spoke with Here Now's Alex Ashlock. Lucky Lynn Shelton got this song written for her. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service NPRI. I'm Robin Young. Have a great weekend, and please join us to see what the new week brings. Here and Now.
I long to be the man that she wanted to be with. The time we spent, I don't know where.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.